What's up, everybody? It's Marvin here in West Philly.
This is Josh reporting from the White Atlanta.
This is Michael in Williamstown.
Yo, what's good? This is Jesse out in Oakland, California, and welcome to another installment of the Melanated Social Work Podcast. We got a few announcements that we just wanted to get some shout outs. We just got off on the Melanated Mindfulness Mondays with Sonali. Sonali, thank you so much for being a guest on the Mindfulness Mondays. Thank you to all the folks who have been tuning in every Monday to hang out with us during that time. It's been really great. Really appreciate the support. Just wanted to let y'all know that myself, Jesse, I participated in a panel to represent Melanated Social Work over this last weekend. It was the race, health, and COVID-19 panel, and it was being put on by the Asian Mental Health Project in collaboration with COVID-19 Group Therapy Project. Really appreciate all the folks, all the followers that came out to show love and support. The video from that event is going to be released very soon, probably by the time that this podcast is released. So make sure you stay on the lookout for that. Make sure you're following the Asian Mental Health Project to get more information, because I know they got some more dope stuff coming out soon.
Jesse, before you talk, move on from that, just folks that, I mean, Jesse, I know that you're going to be super humble about this, but I know we were in the room or in the Zoom room watching this, and Jesse was dropping all kind of, like, anytime Jesse talked, the little chat box on the side would be like, yes, and like, so Jesse was dropping some for real knowledge. So if you get a chance to watch that video, if you didn't check it out, go check that video out, because it is a really dope conversation.
Yes, yo, it was just so much fun to be in the room with folks, and like everyone had so much knowledge and expertise that they were bringing to the space. You know, make sure to also follow the group Agile that Dr. Sandy was from. I seen that they got some really dope Zoom events coming up, some free webinars, a series of them that are going to be coming out soon. So make sure you check Agile out as well. But yeah, I was in a work call today and someone quoted me from the call. They were like, if I could quote Jesse, fuck that mess. I was like, thanks.
Enough said.
Yep. But yeah, just to keep you updated, keep some events on your radar, we are going to be hosting an event on May 14th. It's a wellness check-in for men of color. Working in mental health is going to be the first time that we're hosting something like this. So please make sure if that's something you're interested, any men within helping fields within mental health, make sure to check out our Instagram and click on the link tree. There is a form there to RSVP. And if it's successful, this might be something that we can get going reoccurring. It is free to the public because we know that folks are struggling right now, but there is a suggested donation if it is possible. You know, if you have the funds to do that, it does help us keep this work going, because, you know, we all have full-time jobs and this is a part-time project for us, but we love being able to bring this content. So even if you're not going to that event and you want to support the work that we're doing, hit the link tree as well. Our Venmo is in there. We appreciate the donations that we've gotten recently from folks that are supporting us continuing to do this work. We were able to order a bunch of cotton masks that we've been giving out to essential workers and folks within the mental health field. And it allows us to continue to just keep putting out content. So I really appreciate y'all for doing that.
Thanks, y'all.
Yeah. Any other announcements before we get into the episode?
I would say that, you know, to all the lovely white folks out there, if you feel some type of way and you got that stimulus, or you have 400 years worth of privilege, please go and hit our Venmo. We are Melanated Social Work. You know, we hear a lot of times from some of you, and we appreciate you for giving us the idea. Mr. White Man, Mr. Good White Man, Mr. Good White Lady. But we share so much great knowledge, and that this should be in a classroom or textbook, or you have to Google all these things. If you feel so inclined that this is great information, please let us know how this really feels. If you want to do some change, that's cool, but the silent money is not funny. So please hit and donate to Melanated Social Work at our Venmo. Thank you.
There you go. We gotta keep this thing moving, y'all. So send in the paper. You know what I mean? We appreciate the likes. We appreciate the streams. We appreciate when you show up to the events, but we also appreciate when you just send money, because that allows us to keep doing this good work, y'all.
Josh, I'm gonna record that and I'm gonna just have that playing. We should just have it looped just for any emails. We should take out ads and just have you like sitting down and in that same voice. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just periodically, we're just gonna continue to post that clip to the story. Just to remind folks. Y'all, so this next episode, we really love when folks write into us. They have ideas for questions and things like that that they want us to talk about on the podcast. And overwhelmingly, disproportionately, we get so many questions about relationships. So then we thought, what better than to do a whole episode about your questions about relationships, and us, as four non-experts on relationships, we can answer those questions.
Yep.
So.
Right. And I would love to give a preface. This is does not constitute for therapy. We're not offering like advice or answering personal questions per se. We're just giving generalized stuff from a sense of, as Jesse says, we're not experts. And yeah, don't sue us. So we're just prefacing, this does not constitute for therapy. Please follow Therapy for Black Men, Therapy for Black Girls, Therapy for Latinx, Latinx Therapy, all those things, because we are not them. This is just general stuff. So just want to preface again that this is not therapy. But thank you for sending such general questions.
Yeah, we appreciate that folks are curious, our thoughts on relationships. But the reality is, you have no idea we're in relationships. We could just be like four fuckboys. But for whatever reason, you want to know our opinion on these things. So we're going to give it to you.
Yep.
But, you know, this is no guarantee on the relationship you're in by any means if you follow any of this advice. So let's hop right into it. I'm just gonna start here at the top. I think we could talk about this for a long time, but I'm really curious y'all thoughts on this. Someone wrote in and said, can you really be pro-black and date outside of your race?
Ooh. Coming in with the heat.
Right. Just right at the top. Just bring it.
Yeah. We could definitely spend a whole episode on this.
Yeah.
Just one question.
Ooh. Well, so my stab at this is, I would say it's all about how comfortable you are with who you are, right? If you feel like you're going to be uncomfortable dating someone outside of your race, then I mean, that's kind of a personal thing. Well, this is for the black people. Now, be it, it depends also, are we talking about Asian? Are we talking about other non-black POC? Are we talking about white? Because all those different things are just worth the discussion, are worth keeping in mind. But at the beginning of it, I'm just going to say, it's all about how comfortable and secure you are. If you feel like you can't do that to your core for whatever reason, then that's the decision that you have to make. If not, and you do feel secure with who you are, then why not? I mean, to be honest, you know, love is love no matter who it is. And also, if you think about it, Martin Luther King was with a white woman before he was known as who he is, Dr. Martin Luther King. Malcolm X was in white Atlanta, loving the white women's. Barack Obama, before he was with Michelle, he was with a white woman too. And those are three black men who, you know, they were with white women before the sisters, the black women that they're with. Look, we can even look at Serena Williams. Serena Williams is very pro-black, and her husband's white too. It doesn't take away from who they are and their blackness. It's just about how secure you are. Now, if you feel like you're going to be like, man, okay, I'm going to have to be with this non-black person. Now, I'm speaking from an African-American standpoint. Are we going to teach them about eating collard greens and black-eyed peas on New Year's Eve, or how maybe funerals go, or different cultural things? Like if you go to an African-American church, how that might be for maybe Hallelujah Fest, which is the alternative to Halloween Fest, or whatever the case may be. Have a conversation with them. But the first thing you should do is have a conversation with yourself, and then know that it's going to be a different experience. And as long as that person is open to learning about your culture and embracing your culture, not fetishizing you, why don't you go ahead and do it?
Yeah, I want to echo Josh. I think you brought up some really good points with regards to like self-reflection. I think Tupac dated Madonna for a minute, and then had to, I think
the story. She was sending him not to cut Josh. She was sending him some kites while he was in incarcerated in New York, upstate New York.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure one of the reasons he didn't go forward in that relationship was because she's white. And he was thinking about the impact that it would have on his life. And I think that that's part of the self-reflection, is being critical about how you show up in a relationship and how your partner is going to show up in the relationship. Are they going to be cognizant of like privileges that they have and like power dynamics? Or is it sort of la-di-da? They're not thinking critically about how they're showing up in the relationship. And that can like either jeopardize you as like a man of color, and put you in harm's way and really jeopardize your safety. I'm just thinking about how, like, through critical thought, like, how are you both going to show up in a way that is supportive, and helping y'all ascend as opposed to like being detrimental. Because I think a lot of times people don't critically think about how they show up in a relationship racially, and it can do more harm than good.
Mm-hmm. So you think as long as folks are like bringing that critical lens to it, like a black person can be with a non-black person and still be pro-black?
See, and even this is something that is so nuanced. Like I think about like black men, if they date a white woman, how like their attributes and aesthetic has always been like fetishized and admired. Like I think about the stereotypes, like the black man are very much desirable. And it's hard when they reject like black women and choose to date like a white woman whose attributes have also always been like really desirable. Like we see it all the time in media, as opposed to like a black woman who dates a white man. I think that's different. I think that black women have less access to black men because, 35% or maybe 37% even of black men are incarcerated. It's like black women have less access to black men. And then knowing that black men's attributes have always been desirable, like there's a sense of rejection when they choose like a white woman as opposed to a black woman. That oftentimes people don't think about. Mm. And I think it's different when a black woman dates a white man who, not to say that they've been critical or thinking about how they show up in the relationship, but there's something about when you've been conditioned to like reject black women's features, in media, to not accept what you've been conditioned to in a way. Sorry, I don't know if that was clear.
You know, I think I'm getting what you're saying. Like, there is this piece of, like, if we're speaking from, like, the lens of, like, heteronormative relationships, like, the gender piece does make a difference in relation to the intersection of, like, gender and race, mm-hmm. which I think is, like, is to be expected, right? Because of the way that, like, power flows in that dynamic, that folks are going to look at the situation differently, maybe that if it's a black man with a white woman, as opposed to the inverse.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, go ahead, Josh. What do you think?
My bad. What I was going to say, I'm actually almost finished reading the conversation, how men and women can build loving, trusting relationships by Hill Harper. And he actually referenced in the book, if you listen to Brown Skin Lady by Black Star, right before it, I think they took a snippet from, I think, a Samuel Jackson movie or something like that. And speaking about what Mike was saying, your condition is being conditioned. Meaning like if you've been with, if you're a black man to be with a lighter skin, black woman or racially ambiguous, there's that conditioning. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can even look at some of the stuff recently with the NFL draft recently, where there's been a lot of uproar with, oh, this is a black man, as soon as he gets somewhere, and it talks about it in the book, or just, I think it's kind of, it's a narrative to talk about how when a black man makes it somewhere, he forgets about black women. Yo. Kobe Bryant actually dealt with some stuff, if I recollect right, from his family, because his family wasn't feeling his non-black wife. They wanted him to stick with a black woman. Mm. And I think also a good movie to watch is Jungle Fever. Came out in 91. Spike Lee joint has Wesley Snipes. And it talks about these things. Also, it's good to look at the laws and how America and internationally, how things are. 1966, I believe, was Loving versus State of Virginia. And that was the first interracial marriage that was approved, right? And then after that, interracial dating went up. Mm. And then you also got to look at, I reference this movie a lot, The Birth of a Nation. The Birth of a Nation, the heroine, who's a white woman, jumps off a cliff because this black man's going to come sexually assault her, you know? And right. Even to talk about some of these stereotypes, there's stereotypes to talk about the black male prowess, but that was basically from white slave owners who looked at black men as monsters and wanted to keep them away from white women. Just and if you look at even the I think the Chinese Exclusion Act, I think we talked about this before, Jesse, about how in San Francisco, Chinese men, there were laws to keep them away from white women. You look at, there's actually lynchings in like New Mexico and Arizona to keep Mexican men away from white women. And it's interesting because I've actually lived overseas before. And you see, like with the military, you see a lot of black men, be it in the Army, the Navy. And I mean, got a bunch of guys. They're going to procreate with whatever's around. I think that black men have a higher proclivity to maybe go outside of their race than the loyal black woman, who a lot of times wants to stick more to black men. And from what I've seen, I think black men go out with black women, black men go out with non-black POC women, and black men go out with white women. Whereas from what I've seen, a lot of times black women, they, not to say that they don't go in the middle and dating-wise with race and stay with who they are, I think from what I've seen, they're more likely to go to the white guys. And I mean, you can even look at how, if you read Black Skin, White Mask by Frantz Fanon, he has a chapter that talks about black or men of color with white women and white men with women of color. And you can even look at in Louisiana, there were quadroom balls. A lot of those balconies that you see in New Orleans, that was all these, I'm going to get real historical, all the, these are archaic terms, mulatto, half black, quadroon, quarter black, octoroon, eighth black women that were exhibited to the world for white men's pleasure. And even if you read in Feminisha Jones's book, Reclaiming Our Space, she's even talked about how sexually, a lot of times we look at black love with trauma, but we don't look at a lot of things to do with black love with just love. There's always some stuff behind it.
I'm thinking about this question, and I guess I could see kind of two different ways. So on the one hand, it's you love who you love, and sometimes you can't control it. Sometimes you can. But I think, you know, you can have a partner who is, I mean, you can date outside of your race if you are. So if I were to date outside of my race, I think it's acceptable, and I think it works as long as the person's values and their kind of inner traits about the world and about racism and about like navigating the world as a person of color doesn't change. And I think that there, you know, sometimes people, a black person may, if they were maybe dating a white person, would maybe ease up on saying things like white supremacy or calling out racism, or maybe catering more to white folks' feelings too, right? And so I think if that happens, then it becomes a problem. because then you're changing who you are because of your partner, and you're not being true and authentic to what you really believe in. And so in that sense, if your values change, if who you are as a person changes, if you, you know, aren't, you know, throwing up the fist talking about burning shit down, but maybe talking about, you know what Martin Luther King said, that we should have peaceful protests. Like, if that change happens, then that's hella problematic. I think also, you know, thinking about just the history of Black people in America, specifically with their relationship with white people, I could see my ancestors being mad as shit if I dated somebody that was white. So I could fully understand how some folks may think like, no, you cannot be pro-Black because you are dating the master's ancestor, right? And you think it's acceptable. And so I could see both sides of it. I could see how if folks know their history, it may be a slap in the face for a Black person to date outside of their race, specifically a white person. But I could also see, I mean, it's 2020 now, and, you know, people say, oh, for, you know, not forget about the past, but like, it's a new era, it's a new day. And so we can do things differently. And, so I could also see that side. So I do think it's possible, but I think, again, you cannot give up part of yourself for someone else. Like, you need to be your same self, and the other person needs to be just as gung-ho about being pro-Black as you are.
That's going to translate well to some of the other questions that we got. And I wanted to say that to push back on the first narrative of, like, you know, love is love, right? I just love who I love. That used to be something I believed. And, like, that was my argument, like, when addressing this question. And it wasn't until I started to date a Black woman where she hit me, like, thinking differently about this. And, like, yeah, love is love. But also, like, in 2020, like, and even before, maybe it might have been, like, 2018, maybe even sooner than that, the divorce rate was higher than 50%. So people are saying, yes, I'm in love, but, like, they're conflating love and lust. When the divorce rate's that high, I think that, I mean, things change, obviously, as we're people change. But I don't know, I push back on that idea, like, yeah, I just like who I like. And, like, there's no depth to it, because we can see that runs out.
Yeah. Man, y'all have some really great points. I mean, so when I think about this, right, I'm speaking from the perspective of a non-Black person. So I don't know if I can really speak to, like, what is pro-Black and what is not pro-Black. But I know a lot of folks who are in interracial, inter-ethnic relationships. And I know a lot of folks who are not in relationships because, you know what, them shits is hard. And it is hard to find love. So I think, like, given the fact that there's, like, such a big industry around romance and love, like, people make billions of dollars talking about this shit. Like, it's because the shit is hard. And there are a lot of people who are lonely that are looking for the right person. And so, like, any barriers that we put on folks finding love is, like, fucked up. Because the shit is hard enough already. But I do think it's important when folks develop a pattern and they have shown, like, a clear preference towards something. Like, your partner has, like, only dated white people. And you're just like, bruh, what's up with that? Like, there needs to be some unpacking there. Yeah, like, I mean, the reality is, like, you know, everything is influenced by our bias. You know, the way that we move throughout the world is influenced by, like, our internalized racism, our internalized sexism, you know, our internalized heterosexism. So it would be dumb to think that, like, our romantic relationships are not impacted by that. And unless someone is, like, really taking the time to, like, analyze that, I could see, like, kind of like what you were saying, Marvin, like, that it could start to impact the way that you show up in that relationship.
I mean, and also with all the great things that have been said, I think it's about, like, more from what Marvin was saying, like, don't, if you can be who you are, but don't, if you know you're a very pro-Black person, whatever that means, I don't even want to get into the definition of that, but we'll quote, we'll put in air quotes, pro-black, as long as you're not compromising who you are. And I think what Marvin was saying, like, you feel like you have to kind of like coddle to your white partner, then that's where there's an issue. Or you can be black and be with somebody that could be brown and kind of coddle that as well with some brown people. But no matter who you're with, if you're black, just sticking to who you are, what you were taught, realizing where your ancestors are, where your history is from, and not compromising, just being who you are, the same person that you would be if you were with a black person culturally, whether you're African-American, whether you're West Indian, whether you're West African, East African, whatever the case may be, whatever, because there's many different sects of blackness too. We're not monolithic. But if you could still be who you are within that relationship with that non-black person, and then be who you are.
Yeah.
And don't ever compromise that for nobody or nothing.
Yeah. So hopefully, if you're a listener and you're a person of color and you're with someone who racially holds a lot of privilege, hopefully you found yourself in a loving relationship with someone who is down to shout, fuck the police, to be the first to throw the Molotov cocktail, the ones that'll just really burn the shit down.
That's right.
And that's where you find yourself in a really loving relationship.
and I was going to say, too, the N-word, you know. I'm gonna be honest. I say it. I say it a lot. I say it flagrantly amongst my family and friends.
Same.
I say it before I brush my teeth to make my teeth whiter. and I just want to say, if it's gonna come to a situation with that non-black person where the N-word is gonna come up or something like that, you know, I teach his own. But that will probably have to be a conversation, because culturally within my family says it a whole lot. We say it like Paul Mooney, Chris Rock, whatever the case may be. So hopefully with your partner, they won't be like, well, how come I can't say it? Then, you know, if you do say it, that's a conversation. Or if you feel like if you do date them and something comes up, or anti-black wise, you may want to have a conversation with them and ask them, like, not in a browbeating, whatever the case may be, I would say address it as calmly as possible, and ask them, do they know the history of whatever the fuck they just said? If it's due to like talking about some stereotype of chicken, or did you grow up with your father, or whatever the anti-black stereotypes, racist stereotypes are, if they're coming up and saying those type of things, even before you may get into the relationship with that person, it's good to kind of fill them out and see where they are and what their history and knowledge is, because that stuff is going to come up. So, you know, it's good to fill that person out a little bit and see where they're coming from, because by racial relationships or interracial relationships, intercultural relationships, some of those things do come up. I don't care how quote unquote woke or progressive somebody is. Just like me, I'm gonna be honest, I'll put myself out there. I'm still working on my internalized oppressions and things like that. And those things may come up. So in this world, you gotta be patient with yourself, be patient with that person, and also call them in, especially if you're seeing a trend. You know, but definitely have a conversation with them about those things. Because if you're in my family, like say if that's the case, and we're at a family function, and you say something out of line, my family's going to get you. And I think I'm a typical African-American family. They will let you know what it is expeditiously. So just realize to know to tread lightly.
I mean, I also think, too, you don't have to call them in. You can just end that shit.
Yeah, just cut it.
Like, I mean, where I am right now in my life, if I decided to date someone that was not black and they said some problematic shit, I'd be like, huh, I'm leaving now. Lose my number. Man. Because, like, that's just some shit that I do not have time or energy, or I don't need to teach anybody that. And that's even if you thought somebody was cool and then you're in a relationship and then you find that shit out, too. You can break up with them.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Sometimes racism will sneak up on you like that.
Right. Because you don't have, there's no obligation for you to teach a non-black person about the history and about why what they're saying. No, that's too much. Don't do it. Just find somebody that knows already.
Like it's MTV, bruh. Hit him with the next. Y'all remember that show?
That show was fantastic. Best of MTV trash team.
Oh my gosh.
When I went to San Diego State, I had a friend that was on that show, actually.
No way.
Yeah, anyway.
The show, it had to be scripted. It had to be scripted.
Of course. Yeah.
All right. Well, this next question really touches back on what you were saying, Marvin, earlier. Yeah. So how do you enter a relationship without losing yourself? And they said, what are some red flags to look out for?
I mean, I think it goes back to what folks say, that you need to know yourself before you enter a relationship. And, you know, I think that folks don't do that enough. Like, they don't know what their, like, pet peeves are. They don't know, you know, how to communicate effectively with their partner. You know, they may be, you know, communicating in a style in which their partner can't receive the message because whatever is blocking it, or the style of communication, or whatever noise is kind of in the background. And so I think that you really have to know yourself and know your partner before you get into a relationship. I think some red flags are that you change. Like, you know, how, I mean, and obviously all of us change, you know, because we're evolving, we're learning, we're experiencing new things. But those fundamental kind of, those foundational traits that are you, if those start to change, if you're doing things that, like, I don't know, maybe you're a jealous person and your partner gets text messages, but they don't share them with you and they just kind of look and then answer it and then laugh to themselves and don't tell you. And now you're super worried about it. But that wasn't something that you know, before maybe you would communicate about that situation. So you know, don't seem too jealous or whatever the case is. But if that's something that you now are doing and it's out of your character, that's a red flag. Like, if you are caring, I don't know, if you're wondering where your partner is, if they, you know, said they'd be 30 minutes and now it's an hour and you're like extra, extra worried. Or if your partner really likes to work out and you don't really like to work out, but now you are going to the gym with them every day and you don't really fucking like it, right? It's just like...
just miserable.
But you really have to know what you like and what you don't like. And I was working with a client just last week around non-negotiables. Like, there are things that are non-negotiable that, like, hey, if you don't fit this, then it's just not going to work. And I don't mean like a certain, you know, amount of money that they make or a car that they drive or something like that. But it's like, for me, one of my non-negotiables is that if you don't think therapy can be helpful, I'm probably not going to date you. Because that's something that's really serious to me, and taking care of themselves is serious to me. And so, like, for me, that's non-negotiable. Some people, emotional intelligence, or just being emotionally vulnerable. If you can't do that with me, we cannot date. Like, it just cannot happen. And so I think people need to create those non-negotiables and really stick to them based on what they need in a relationship.
That's real. Know what your non-negotiables are. And for all the listeners, this eligible bachelor, Marvin just gave you the pro tip. Make sure you're in therapy, or at least you agree with people going to therapy. You know what I mean? Hit that prerequisite.
I'm ineligible right now. I am working on me. So stay tuned.
I wanted to ask a follow-up question for that, Marvin, too, or anyone can answer. Like, how do y'all think you cultivate that level of self-awareness, though, to even realize that you're changing? You know what I mean? Because, like, sometimes, like, you don't notice the changes that happen day to day, and then you wake up and you're like, where the fuck am I? So, like, how do you even get to that point to realize, like, oh, I'm changing, and this is no longer in alignment with my values?
Ooh, I was thinking about it a little differently, like, in respect to I'm changing, and this changes for the better. Thinking about just what you notice. I think about, like, going to what some of those red flags were or to look out for. and if it's worthwhile bringing it to the other person so that they can work on potentially changing, or if it's like, these actually are, these red flags are a bit much, and I have to make a move. Because I was thinking about, if you pay attention to what you notice, like, do you feel depleted after you spend time with the person? Do they speak life into you, and you like look forward to seeing the person? And like, do you just, I would say not necessarily, like, feel rejuvenated, feel refreshed. Is it easy, or do you find yourself exhausted from like always fighting or having to explain what you actually meant when you said something? And then again, just checking in with self after you get done spending time with someone, as you build that, as you cultivate that relationship. Because red flags are, if you're feeling exhausted, if you feel like, damn, we just spent the whole time arguing and there wasn't really a whole lot of good in there. I feel anxious or really nervous when I'm around the person. I'm walking on eggshells because I don't know what to say, or if what I say is going to lead to like an argument. Like, those are things to be hyper aware of. And then I would say the change, noticing, like, how do you know when you're changing, is like knowing that you could have responded differently, perhaps in a moment, and you didn't. And it was for the better. Actually, I think maybe like more of myself and things that I've had to be aware of, but like, I'll notice a change when I do feel like, just through like reflective thought, like that could have gone very differently. It has gone differently in the past, and this is actually really good that it went this way this time. And then like trying to continue to uphold that and practice that style of communication and all that. So that's more of my personal experience coming in here. But again, I think it just comes, a lot of it is just like being aware of how you show up.
Going to therapy probably helps with that too. Like, I can see it being helpful.
And speaking of that, I have an individual, I've said this before, I have an individual therapist, and my partner and I, we go to a couples therapist. And what she tells us is, invest in your relationship the same way you invest in your career. A relationship is not a job. Mm. It's something that is a full-time investment if you're fully invested. And, you know, I've also listened, I listened a while ago to Therapy for Black Girls. And it was like a discussion point about how to stay within yourself and in your realm within a relationship. And it actually had Dr. D, the MFT, on the episode as well. And the episode was just saying, like, it's good to know, like, spiritually, financially, emotionally, culturally, where you are with some things. And if you're not having time to tap into a hobby of yours, or being able to see your family, if you feel like you're not able to compartmentalize, basically, because it's one thing to be in a relationship and y'all have your own, you have your bills if you live together or whatever the case may be. You have your group self-care relationship self-care activities, because it's about being, gotta be friends first. So it's about cultivating that friendship in the relationship, because that friendship is the foundation to the relationship. And it's good to tap into those things, but it's also good to, you know, sometimes have a break. And it's good to have space. It's good to have, in a relationship, it's good to have relationship time. And it's also good to have your time or me time, whatever the case may be. If you want to podcast, if you want to play basketball, if you want to lift weights, those things that keep you to be you, because you got to be able to be whole within a relationship as well. It's good to have the things where y'all do together, but it's good to have those times. And if you're feeling like you're not feeding your soul, whatever holistic way that is, then that could be a red flag. Like, man, I'm not having space for myself. And if you're not having that, if you're not having the space, it's good to, if you're not going to couples therapy already or reading any self-help books or whatever the case may be, it's good to maybe have a conversation with your partner. Mm. A lot of times with relationships, you can hold stuff down so hard, and when you get mad, it all comes up. Mm. So you just maybe want to say it in a way when you're not in a very aggressive or in a hostile place, say it calm. Like my therapist tells me, as far as relationship goes, he's like, Josh, the same way you're having a conversation with me and we're being calm and we're being collected is the same way you can have one with your partner. And if you feel like they're not listening, so, and you're not, he tells me to be assertive, and I would echo that as well, to be assertive and notice that you're not always going to get your way with some things in relationship, and talk about how the biggest thing, one of the biggest things in a relationship is compromise. Like, okay, all right, I want to be able to do this. We're going to be able to do this. So how can you formulate a compromise within the relationship to make sure that you're feeding into the relationship, but you're also feeding into yourself? So conversations, communications, and compromise. Three C's. Keep those
three
in mind.
Three C's. Man, trademark that shit.
Also, Jesse, to what you were saying, and I'm reading this question again, how do you enter a relationship without losing yourself? Like, you have to, you also have to know yourself.
Man, that's it. I was.
People don't know themselves. And so a lot of the work that I do with, you know, my clients is around identity. Because, you know, I often ask, you know, I do this activity where I have them describe who they show to the world, like what the parts of them they show to the world, how other people view them, and then how they view themselves. Mm. And then we talk a lot about those three columns and the differences, the similarities. Sometimes we even break down, you know, different traits in clients because they have never thought this deeply about themselves. They never, you know, have thought about what makes them tick or what makes them happy or what annoys them or what frustrates them or what they love to do or what their passion is. And so, you know, I think when we say we can't lose ourselves in our relationship, we don't know what's lost if we didn't know that we had it or what we have. So we really have to do that work. And again, therapy is number one, in my opinion, to figure out, like, okay, who am I?
That's it, man. It's like that scene in Zoolander, man. Who am I? No, but that shit is hella real, bro. Like, if you know who you are, you can't get lost from that. You know what I mean? It's when you started out lost, probably. But yeah, I think that's why it's really important to lean on your community, to lean on your family, to lean on the people around you, because they will tell you when you start to lose yourself. Your family will tell you. Your friends will tell you. And if you don't have family or friends that are close enough to tell you when you lost yourself, you have work to do in those relationships before you get into an intimate relationship. But trust your circle, because they will definitely tell you when you fucking up.
And this isn't really with the question, but also in it's just something my mother always taught me. And also, I think this is like a Maya Angelou quote. When people show you who they are the first time, believe them. Because a lot of times in relationships, you may think this person is going to change or this or that and the third, but who they are is who they're going to keep on being in some situations. So just if you notice who that person is, just realize, you know, how can you, if you just realize who they are, how can you be okay with it? Is it going to piss you off? Is it something that you can live with? But just realize some situations and some character attributes, that person is who they are.
That's it. Based on clinical research, 100% of the time, the motherfuckers don't change. That's it. So then what? Actually, I like this one. So we have some questions that I think are kind of related to the situation that we're in right now with the social distancing. We're in our silos. And I think this relates back to some of the points you were making, Josh. How do you maintain that me time, but you're in quarantine with a partner? So how do we do that when we're actually like trapped with the person?
I live alone, so it's always me time.
But you could imagine, Marvin, like, give advice to the listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about communication with your partner. And I think it's having a real-ass conversation about the situation that we're in. It's like, we ain't going nowhere. We're in this house, apartment, trailer, car, wherever you live. And we need to figure this out, because the two of us together 24/7 is not going to make for, it's not going to make for a good time. So let's figure out a schedule. If y'all got kids, maybe one person can take care of the kids while the other one goes out on a walk. Maybe you're allocating some time for Melanated Mindfulness Mondays on Monday. Maybe you are, you know, designating, you know, just I'm going to watch TV right now. Maybe I'm just going to make this food for myself and just for me and for my time. And making sure that there's a mutual understanding and that no one feels like, oh, well, you're not spending time with me. You don't want to be with me right now. Well, it's like, of course I want to be with you, but given the situation right now, we don't want to be on top of each other 24/7, because that is not going to be, some people can do it. And for those couples, kudos to you. But for a lot of folks, that's not realistic. And, you know, I think it's about communicating how to save yourself space and save yourself time for yourself and for your partner, and making it equally important for both of you.
Mm, absolutely.
I know Mike's about to say something, but that's also, it's good to look at what attachment somebody is. It secure attachment? Is it an insecure attachment with somebody? Those are things that are, well, we're speaking mad clinically now, but you know, these are things to keep in mind, and it helps you to realize maybe like with just in general, maybe how they were growing up, how they were with their family, how they were in other relationships, and what that codependency looks like, you know? So.
Facts. But that comes back to like just knowing self, knowing what you need. And then, you know, if your partner seems to need something else, like communicating boundaries. And like Marvin was talking about, like have a schedule or just be able to communicate like, I need some space, or I'm going to take a walk, or I'm going to go for a drive, or I'm going to cook. And you can ask if your partner wants what you're eating. If not, like, can that be okay that you're going to make something that you want and not have to make your partner something they might want to eat? Ooh. Like little things like that.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah. But y'all were saying just communication. It's the savior. It's key. And also but doing it in a way that can be empathetic and compassionate. But yeah, I think as we show up in relationships with different attachment styles, and if it works, or if they happen to be similar and that works, awesome. But if they're different and then they lead to, you know, combativeness, then, you know, just got to be aware about what needs to be communicated.
Mm, yeah. That's it, man. Like, it all comes back to communication. Like, if y'all can't talk about this shit, like, it's great that folks write into us and give us all this material for the podcast. But like, if folks can't then take this same question and bring it to their intimate partner, like that's going to be a problem. That's going to get in the way at some point. And so like, just being able to be like, hey, we've been spending a lot of time together and I've been irritating the shit out of you. I know I have. Like, let's set aside some time for you to do your thing. I'm gonna do my thing. You know what I mean? Like, and that should be okay.
What if they say, oh, you don't want to be around me? Are you with somebody else?
No.
You don't love me? Because that's what a lot, and when I'm in therapy, when I'm with my clients, that's sometimes the rebuttal that the client will hear from their partner. And it's almost like a form of manipulation or gaslighting.
Absolutely. And at the same time, like, it's like, of course, right? Like, I can want to be with you and spend time with you and love you. But in order for me to show up and do all those things, I also need to show up for myself. And right now, this is what I need.
Yeah. Guilt and shame are not effective motivators to get people to do something. So like, that'll work to an extent. And then at some point, that person's just going to be like, nah, I don't give a shit. I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So, I mean, that there has to be a conversation around that too, because, you know, like, folks should be in relationship with each other and be able to like do their own thing, and both people be secure in knowing like, oh, that person still loves me. Like, it's okay. They can go do their own thing and we love each other. And that's totally fine. I think in general, like, we need to hold a lot of patience with each other in this moment, because we have to acknowledge that, like, literally no one is their best self right now. And we're gonna, you know, push each other's buttons and trigger each other. And it's like, it's coming from a space of like, we're all stressed the fuck out, y'all. Like, so it's like, we need time to just like take care of ourselves, do better so that we can show up in a way that like feels productive.
Yeah. I'm thinking too about the couples who were already having issues before COVID and are now having to, a lot of the times, be in close proximity to their partners all the time. Mm-hmm. That's going to exacerbate the situation. And so, you know, highly recommending couples therapy or your own individual therapy during this time. That's another time. That's another, you know, amount of time that you can have as me time when you're really working on yourself or you're working on the relationship between you and your partner.
Yeah. It's fascinating about this time right now, because I've read how some relationships have been saved by spending this much time together and having an opportunity to relearn one another. And then also I hear about divorce rates skyrocketing overseas. And
China and really went up.
Yep. Jada Pinkett Smith had a Red Table Talk where she talks about how her and Will didn't even know each other as of late. And then this time has been a chance for them to like learn and or just relearn each other, because they had such like routines and schedules that they had just gotten accustomed to. So like, even though like physically close and raising a family and all that, like there's a distance that grows through changing throughout the year. So like, yeah, it's not all bad during quarantine. Right, it's just an opportunity to show up differently.
That's real, man. Thank you for that reframe. Like, I appreciate the work that Jade is doing. I wonder if she knows about the work we're doing. We should invite her to be on the podcast at some time. But that's real. Like you could look at it two ways. Like, and like, there definitely is the silver lining, is this is a blessing for us to slow down in a way that like maybe we've never had to before because of all the distractions of our day-to-day life and work. And so like, this is a real opportunity for folks to sink into that relationship, to deepen the level of communication and vulnerability. Like, folks could come out of this situation in a stronger relationship.
That, I mean, even my mom is very Christian and biblical. And she was saying, she was listening to a sermon the other day. This is not any type of spiritual counseling or nothing like that. I'm not trying to change anybody's religious beliefs, but some of the stuff can be universal, meaning now is a time, like, there's warfare going outside, literally like warfare. So this is the time for people in relationships to like be one and be each other's armor to protect each other from the warfare that's going outside. Now, I know what you're thinking. Sometimes I saw feminists, as you don't say the other day, I can't stand this person. I want to go to work. Like, I love you, but I need my space. I like going to work. You got to make it work. Somehow, some way, through conversations, through mad teletherapy restriction, or not, they're loosening restrictions and stuff as far as teletherapy. Maybe go check in with a therapist if at all possible. Try that. Keep remembering who you are. Like, these red flags are going up. And also, sadly, interpersonal violence and domestic violence is going up. This is a fucked up situation. That's a whole nother podcast. But, you know, hearts and love and respect to everybody who is going through it. And, you know, if you feel like there's something going on or whatever the case may be, again, try to go to a therapist. And, you know, if you need to speak with a therapist or a social worker, try finding a safety plan if you are in a domestically violent or interpersonal violent relationship, because this is a really tough time.
Yeah.
That's real. We'll make sure to put some links, some resources that folks can connect with too. If they've, you know, they know someone who's in an abusive relationship, because it is a really scary time for folks. Like we really have to be looking out for each other, leaning into this collective care. Like y'all know who are the people in your life who were already in dysfunctional relationships before this, like check in on those people. You know what I mean? Even though we physically cannot be there for folks, like check in on folks so that they know they're not alone in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So maybe the inverse of that. So you're not stuck at home with your partner. Like how, any tips on maintaining a long distance relationship?
Yes. I'm a member of Melanated Social Work in a long distance relationship. Yes, I would. I mean, it goes back to what we've been talking about. Communication is key. And I do want to say, like, something that's worked for me is having a pretty consistent routine about when we communicate during the day. Also, something that works for us is that we're not inclined to like FaceTime every time we communicate. Like, I think there's this wave of like, oh, well, we have access to Zoom and Skype and Google Hangout and FaceTime that like, that's gotta be the mode that we communicate like every time. And that's just like, not even Jesse, you said like, no one's really showing up as their best self right now. Like y'all see me right now, I look disheveled. But that's just an added pressure. And so we communicate via text, we communicate on the phone, like just talking, but like not even like every day. I don't know if I'll say the frequency, like once a week, it seems like. But other times we're just texting, unless like something comes up. But I mean, we communicate like in the like I said, with a pretty set schedule. And it's something that works for us. Doesn't have to necessarily work for everybody else. You know, you want to communicate differently with your partner, be a long distance, like sending gifts to their house as a way to like keep romance alive, things to keep like the energy there. Because even though you're like physically distant, like there's other ways to show up.
Yeah. To Josh speaking, the relationship I am in now. Oh, what's going on?
Sorry, that was just funny the way you said that. This is Josh speaking. Go ahead, man. Kick game, man.
He knows you.
Yeah, go ahead.
The relationship I'm in now was initially for a small part a long distance relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the keys that I've researched and read is just like planning time with each other. If y'all can like meet maybe halfway or meet up in a city somewhere, that's a cool thing to do. Maybe you want to write letters to each other. I know people don't want to do snail mail as much now, but maybe doing some snail mail with that. I think another cool thing is like maybe, I don't know, like reading a book together and having a conversation about the book. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe y'all want to do some, maybe play some games online with one another. I think just generally those are some of the things that you can do. Try to work on some type of project together that can build and hold the relationship at this time. I know it's kind of hard to do a lot of things, but just finding mutual activities that y'all both can do distantly and coming back and sharing about those things to have something to come back to talk to. And also, some relationships, long distance, they can be open, right? Meaning some people will be like, all right, well, we're going to be open about talking about being sexually active with other people. Make sure you set those things in line because you can still be an infidel with some things. So infidelity is dependent upon the relationship. So I would just say, like, if y'all want to have an open relationship and be like, well, we're long distance, but I need to get these feelings off in a very excitedly consensual way with this other person, let that be known. And also make sure you're getting tested for any STIs as well, because you don't want to bring somebody else's affliction to your partner. So mm-hmm. making sure you keep in open, honest communication about what your sexual activities are.
That's it. And be ready for the fact that that might be the end of your relationship. But you gotta like, you gotta be okay with that. Some people aren't gonna be down for that.
Yeah.
Two examples right here from these brothers that long distance relationships work. Look
also,
at them.
I also wanted to add in, you can have a Netflix party, you know, like what, if you want to binge watch a show with your partner, like we do melanated Netflix parties, but you and your partner can also do a Netflix, Netflix part. Netflix should pay us. Yo, if I'm going to give them a shout out, like with the sponsorship and free marketing,
man,
Netflix hang will help save long distance relationships.
Cause that's probably what you was going to be doing if y'all were in the same room anyways, just chilling, watching Netflix.
I think with long distance relationships too, I think is being really honest with yourself about how long you're willing to be long distance.
Or
if it's like, are you comfortable with a month or a year or 2 years? Like what is your comfort level with being long distance? And at some point it's just like, okay, I'm kind of tired of forcing this. Maybe we should just call it quits.
Yeah.
And it's not because there's no love there. It's just that like physical contact is important to people. Like I know that I could never do a long distance relationship because one of my, you know, with those top love languages or whatever is physical touch. And so I know that for me, without physical touch from my partner, like I would not be able to do that. And so, you know, going a year would be very, very, very difficult unless I was like married or like, you know, it's been a long, long time. But if we're just like dating or it's just like the first couple of years, then, you know, maybe we need to break up until and kind of
reevaluate.
Yeah, reevaluate the relationship, how it's going to look, if at what point will we be physically in the same city or at least, you know, in close enough towns or cities that we can easily go and see each other. But I think, again, it's back to knowing yourself, what you want and what you're willing to make work.
Yeah.
So you're fulfilling the needs of both you and your partner. So I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, this my partner wants this, so I'll do it for them. Then you're doing yourself a disservice because you're not really happy.
Yeah. Don't let that shit go on too long, too. You know what I mean? If you've been in a long distance relationship for multiple years, you better make sure you're not getting catfished from jump. Like, make sure you're with who you think you're with.
Right. And I would also say, like, with as far as setting up the terms of a long distance relationship, talking about who's gonna move to if y'all gonna move to the same city and y'all both gonna be uprooted, have that discussion. Or how is it gonna look like for one of the people to move to the other city and to realize all the stuff that comes along with it as well. So it's just good to talk about these things because you never know what you can be going up against, especially if you've never been to this city. You got family in this city. There's so much to consider when you move into that city because you could be taken on. It's just good to know what you're getting yourself into when you move into that city. And also, I think from what Marvin's saying, the love languages is five. Know which five. There's touch. There's words of affirmation. There's acts of service. What are the other two?
Gifts.
Words of affirmation?
I thought there's just four.
Oh, well, however many it are. It's good to know what your love language is. We haven't said it, but all these things, it's good to know what your love language is and let your partner know that too. So you're all able to have that equilibrium.
Are gifts acts of like?
No, those are two separate things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, quality time. That was the one we missed.
Quality time. Boom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just know what you want. You know what I mean? Make sure folks are being honest. Because it's totally okay to be like, hey, I'm not down with a long-distance relationship. We're going to cut it right here. And that's totally fine. You shouldn't feel bad about that. Like, you asserting what you feel like you deserve in an intimate relationship with someone, that is totally okay. But like Marvin said, don't just go along with it because it's what the other person wants. Ultimately, you're going to end up in a space of, like, resentment or, like, it's going to become a problem at some point.
Yeah.
Y'all want to do one more question?
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more and then wrap it up. How do I heal my relationship with my partner when they have a lot of baggage.
You are not their therapist. It is not a task that you have to take on. The onus is not on you to heal your partner and help them get clarity around their baggage.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do that shit, you're going to be miserable. You're going to deal with that emotional labor, and you're setting yourself up for something that you might want to keep in mind that you may not want to think about or take on, because it's not helpful to you, right? Okay. It's good to be well together, but when they got all that shit, that impacts you. And you think you can continue to do that? How long do you think you can do that? To what severity do you think you can do that? Just something to keep in mind.
Let me ask y'all this, though. So let's say this is a client and they come to you with this problem. How are you going to address this with your client?
I mean, my first kind of questions are, in that question, there's two parts. So it's healing their relationship, but then also there's their baggage. So, like, how do those things connect? Right? Because how do I heal my relationship when they have baggage? Like, their baggage is their problem. They got to deal with that shit, what they got to do with me. Mm-hmm. But if that baggage affected the relationship, then, you know, I think that's when more questions need to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it's hard for me to answer this question because I guess I would need more information. But I mean, and what kind of baggage? Is it like emotional baggage? Is it like issue, like childhood trauma? Is it trauma from a past relationship? Is it like that person has like 5-6 kids that we don't know about? Like what kind of baggage is it? Because depending on what that is, that's going to bring up a whole host of potential issues.
To go off with that, I mean, definitely like more information is needed. My immediate follow-up question is probably going to be like why they feel the need to do that, because that will give you insight into where they're coming from, and why they're presenting you with the question in the first place, and then just going from there. Like if they're talking about, well, you know, I really care about this person and they've just been through so much and I see what they could be. And I want to be there, and essentially, like, you know, the personality of like I'm going to fix this person, and that's, there's a whole lot to unpack there with that mindset. So, but not to paint it with a broad brush, but I would want to know why they feel like they got to heal that or heal their relationship, and it's being detrimental due to the partner's baggage.
Yeah. I think also it's like, how do I heal my relationship with my partner?
Boom.
Two people in a relationship.
That's it.
Why are you doing that work to heal the relationship with your partner? It should be, how do we as a unit like do better? Like how do we heal from whatever happened before?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's automatically now, like, you're actively trying to do something and your partner, I don't know if they're on the same level, but it sounds like you are, this person is more actively trying to make shit happen, or the partner's just like doing whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime is that like the division of labor, emotional labor in the relationship, if there is an imbalance in that, that is going to become a problem at some point. And so, like you said, Marvin, that should be two people working on the partnership, and then each of those people, or multiple people, actually, I don't want to like, you know, like limit this to two person relationships. If you're in a throuple, you know what I mean? Like
a lot of communication needed there.
Y'all need to come together to work on the relationship, and then everyone needs to go and do their own thing and work on themselves. Cause the reality is we all got our own motherfucking baggage. Like it's not that this person came in the relationship with their baggage. You got baggage too.
Right.
If you didn't have any baggage, like that's fucking crazy. Cause who just travels around without bags? That's just, you just got the clothes on your back. That's fucking weird. So yeah. So, but it is a partnership. So hopefully you're inviting that person in to, you know, unpack their own bags.
Yeah.
So anything else before we sign off, y'all?
Yeah, I'm just going to say in regards to my final thoughts or just piece of a gem, which to be like, you know what you both have in common. It's good to, you know, see what brings you together. What are your common interests? What are your common hobbies? What ties you together? Those are the friend. That's the foundation of the friendship. And then also it's good to know what y'all don't have in common. It's good to embrace both and know where to go from there, because the similarities will be in your face, but the stuff that's not similar is going to be in your face too. You got to be able to know how to manage it. There's nothing wrong with coming from different backgrounds or what have you. I think it's actually pretty dope to embrace both and see how y'all can complement and supplement each other. But it's good to embrace both, you know, remember who you are, remember what your interests are, remember who you are as a person, and also seeing where that other person comes from too, as far as similarities and things that y'all do not have in common. So yeah, that's that on that.
Yeah. I like this, Josh. Let's keep this going. Y'all gonna give me your final thoughts on relationships.
I mean, I would just say effective communication and honesty are key. And it's for me, it's not just communication, because you can communicate with someone and either side may not have really heard each other, right? And so you want to communicate with somebody so that they really receive that message and they really get it, and vice versa. Like, you want to communicate so that other person can really get it too. And then honesty. I think there are so many people who are trying to stay in relationships because either they're comfortable or they don't want to, you know, hurt the other person, or whatever reason they're staying in these relationships. They're not happy, which leads to resentment, which leads to cheating, which leads to a lot of these negative things, when you could just be honest and be real about what you want and what you don't want. And in the long run, is gonna be better for the everybody involved. Because you know, I know folks like stay and just like basically waste each other's time because they don't wanna be the quote unquote bad guy. But if you're wasting someone's time for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years when you could have just nipped it after 4, like who's the bad guy?
That's real.
Like, I mean, it just doesn't work out, and that's okay.
Yeah. You're like doing yourself a disservice if you're staying in a relationship that's just not working. Like, the reality is like the two of y'all being in a relationship that is not thriving, you're preventing that person from being in a relationship that they can thrive in, and you're preventing yourself.
Yeah.
Mike, what you got?
I think it just starts with self. Self-love is the best love. and you just, like Marvin was saying too, like, you got to be honest with yourself and where you're at. And if you're hurting or you're not, you know, just thinking about how you're showing up and you're relying on your partner or somebody else to come in and do the work for you. Like, that's not how you go about relationships. That's not how you go about friendships. And I think love doesn't just have to be romantic love. It can be platonic love. It can be friend. Like, think about like, my mentor, like mentors are people I look up to, and how the love I have for them, my love and my friendships. And there's a lot of people I care about and I love, and it's not all like necessarily like romantic love. But the reason I'm able to do that is because it starts with myself. And so I think I'll just leave that for people to think about.
It's beautiful, man. You gotta love yourself before you can love anyone else.
Yeah.
That shit is hella real. I mean, it starts with knowing yourself. Going to therapy helps if you have access to that. I think it comes down to communication, being able to talk shit out, because at some point, y'all gonna hit some waves. It's not gonna be smooth sailing, and y'all gotta get through that. I think it's also really important to talk about values. What is grounding you in your life? And what is grounding that other person? And do those things align? Because y'all should also be talking about where you're going. Hopefully, when you're thinking about relationships, you're also thinking about the future. And the reality is, like, we all change in relationships, and hopefully y'all are changing and growing in the same direction. Because sometimes people will change and grow for the better, but they also might grow apart in that process. So I think it's important to have those conversations.
Yeah.
So with that, y'all are ready to go out into the world and have effective relationships with people. You're welcome. You can go ahead and hit the Instagram page, click on the link tree, and donate to the Venmo, because we just put you into a happy relationship.
We saved your relationship, folks.
That's it. We saved it. You're welcome. But that's it, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of the Melanated Social Work Podcast. Please continue to follow the Instagram. Tell your friends about the Instagram. Make sure to tell your friends to listen to the Melanated Social Work Podcast. Tell them they at the house. They ain't doing shit anyways. Tell them to tune in. And make sure you stay plugged into all the dope events that we got going on. We're really trying to put out all this content to help everyone stay connected, to help, you know, fend against some of this social isolation so that we are engaged in this collective care together, y'all.
Yes.
So once more, thank you so much. Appreciate y'all.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.